Good morning. Today's daf in the Dharma Chav Gimor and Chav Beis Amud Beis. We are going to be starting with the words Mishtabeach LeRava. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And where we just ended off yesterday was Poschen, that you can extract somebody from a neder. Chacham can do so. And he can do so in one of two ways. He could do so either via Pesach or via Charata. So again, at this point in time, you're used to hearing this because this has been our topic of discussion here in the third parak of the Masechta. It's really not the overall discussion of the third parak. Third parak overall is talking about nedarim that don't have to be dealt with at all. Don't need any extraction. Just in other words, nedarim that could just simply be ignored from the very beginning. Nidrei Zeruzin is our parak. But in the course of the discussion, so we got here. And that is that once somebody's in a neder, so how do you extract somebody from a neder? So there are one of two ways to do so. There's the non-controversial way and there's a controversial way. So the non-controversial way is what's called Pesach. In other words, looking at the neder itself and figuring out, when you made that particular neder, did you realize this effect, that effect? In other words, go over with him some of the things that he did not take into consideration when he made that particular neder. My analogy has been, and will continue to be, it's lifting up the hood of the car. In other words, I'm looking at the neder itself and finding the flaw within the neder. So that's what's called Pesach, and if you find a legitimate Pesach, so then you can go ahead and you can lift somebody remove him from his neder. That's what's called Pesach. And the other thing is what's called Charata. So Charata has nothing to do with the neder itself, but it's situational. Meaning, what kind of mood were you in at the time when you make the neder? You were in a bad mood when you make the neder? So if you were in a bad mood, and had you not been in a bad mood, you wouldn't have made the neder. So fine, so that's what's called situational, that's charata. You regret making the neder. Now, again, for clarification purposes, we've said this before, let's say it again. And the Ron makes this point multiple times. And that is, of course you're regretting it now, meaning why in the world are you going to a chacham to try to remove yourself from the neder? Because obviously you regret it now. But that's not charata. Charata is that we have to go back in time to when you made the neder, and were you of sound mind at the time? If you were in sound mind at the time, so then you're stuck. If, on the other hand, you were in a terribly bad mood at the time, or you were angry at the time, we talked a lot yesterday about anger. So if you were angry at the time, so then that would be a means of extraction. That would be called charata. Can you release somebody from an edder using charata? The answer is it's debatable. It's a controversy. Of the Amoraim, Rav Asi, we quoted in the Gemara, was clearly the position that no. In other words, it's not only an inferior means of extraction, but it doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. You can't use it. That's the position of Rav Asi. We have, however, found many Amoraim and many Tanaim who are of the position that you can extract somebody using a charata. Good. So that's where we landed yesterday, and where we ended yesterday, Hilchasa, Poschem b'charata. And the Gemara says, and the halacha is that you can extract somebody using charata. Is that the final bottom line halacha? It happens to be, the Ran yesterday discusses this in more detail. He quotes Gaonim and Rishonim on this particular topic. We're going to move on, but that's been our discussion over the past couple of days. No, in other words, if you have a Pesach, so then fine. But if you don't have a Pesach, so Charata would be another means. And then it's certainly inferior. In other words, that seems to be very clear from the Gemara. It's an inferior way of extraction, but it could work. And again, depending on...
The Pesach is just an opening, right?
I mean, that's a simple way to say it, but yes. In other words, but what the opening is based on the fact that had you made that neder that you made, did you consider the following? Did you consider the following? And you have to look at ramifications that came out of the neder. And again, not new ramifications that's actually coming up today. Not new ramifications, but rather ramifications that existed at the time when you made the neder. You just didn't take them into consideration.
Could we call that a loophole?
We're talking about getting them out of a neder. I mean, that's basically our discussion.
Is it that you didn't pass the test of the first idea, they went to the second idea, or you just...
No, you can. In other words, for those who subscribe to Charata, you can go directly to Charata. And I say this, and I know the Gemara's upcoming story is going to, it seems to play into this discussion. Let's start off. Mishtabeach le Rav leRav Nachman, beRav Shchadar Ischar daAdam Gadolhu. Okay, this is a common opening in the Gemara to introducing us to an Amora. And that is that Rava said, Rav and Rav Nachman are talking. Rava says to Rav Nachman, you have to meet this Rav Schar. He's unbelievable. Okay, and it's funny, by the way, because every time we have a setup like this in the Gemara, So the person who's touted as being unbelievable turns out to be perfectly believable. And so, okay. So the, in other words, maybe it's a lesson in hyping and not to hype people. Okay, but good. Anyway, so you have to meet Rav Zchari. He's unbelievable. So Amalo kishi avoli etchai v'liadi. So Rav Nachman says, good. I can't wait to meet him if he's so unbelievable. So havli nidra lemishrei. Now it happens to be that Rav Zchari made a neder and he wanted release from the neder. Okay, good. So now would be a fantastic opportunity for Rav Zchari to have Rav Nachman release him from his neder. Okay, now it's so strange, by the way, because where do we stand on best practices? Should you make a neder? Should you not make a neder? It happens to be one of the larger questions that we have been dealing with in our Masechta. Should you be making a neder altogether? Right. So, and our general position, the Gemara's general position is that no, meaning just the simple fact that Rav Zchari has nedarim, he made a neder. Okay, it's. That in of itself is curious, but anyway, he has a neder. Okay, those are the facts. And now he's going to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman's going to release him from the neder. So, also, come to Rav Nachman, Amalei Nedarta, Adaita Dahachi, Amalei In, Adaita Dahachi In, Kamazinin. So now Rav Nachman says, okay, let's talk about the neder. What was the neder that you made? When you made that neder, did you consider this? Did you consider that? In other words, what's Rav Nachman doing? He's trying to find a Pesach to extract him from his neder. And after trial and failure, so finally now Rav Nachman's running out of ideas. So Ikbid Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman at this point in time is so angry. Amalei Zila Kalech, and he says to Rav Zchari, okay, it's time for you to go home. Meaning at this point in time, I'm losing my patience, and I don't want to lose it anymore, and so do me a favor, leave. So Nafak Rav Zchari Pasach, and so Rav Zchari leaves and he realizes at this point in time, like, oh boy, I got Rav Nachman upset. Okay, so that's the bad news. The good news is, however, is that I just discovered my Pesach. Right. I just discovered my Pesach. Because Rabbi Omer Ezu Der Kishara Shiavalo Adam, Koshu Tifers Losev, Tifers Lomen Adam. So he reminds himself of the first mission of the second parak of Pirkei Avos. So the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos talk about how we should live our lives, meaning it's Musar, right? It's the original Musar Sefer. So the original Musar Sefer we just learned recently are the Nevi'im, meaning those are the original Musar Sfarim, right? Had we comported ourselves, so we just did a couple of days ago in the Armasechta, that there wouldn't have been Nevi'im. There would have been the Chamishichum Shetara, there would have been Sefer Yehoshua, and that's it. Okay. So, but in the meanwhile, we needed Musar, and so we were given 18 books of Tanakh, right? All there to give us Musar. So those are really the original Musar Sfarim. But then after that, in terms of Tar Shabbat Peh, so Pirkei Avos is another Musar Sefer, again, an original, meaning it's Mishnayos. And so we're quoting over here the first Mishnah, the second parak of the Masechta, in which, you know how you should behave? Behave in a way in which Akash Baruch Hu is happy with you, and people are happy with you. In other words, so you have to try to please both. So, Hasha de Ikbeda, now, look, because of my behavior, so now Rav Nachman's upset. So, Hasha de Ikbeda, Rav Nachman, Adaita Hachalon Nidre. So, I would never have made the neder had I known that Rav Nachman would have been so displeased with me. Vishara Lanafshe, and so what he does is he extracts himself from the neder. Now, the language of the Gemara is that he extracts himself from the neder, and as the Rishonim point out, the Ram points this out, you can't extract yourself from the neder. That's the whole point of extraction. You need somebody else to extract you from the neder. So probably what the Gemara means is that he at least found an argument that he then went and gave to a, presumably Rav Nachman, the Gemara doesn't tell us. But in other words, now he has an argument that he can give to somebody in order to help him extract him from his neder. Okay, so over here, eventually, even though he did upset Rav Nachman, but eventually he did find the argument that extracted him from the neder. The Ran points out over here, when Rav Nachman goes and extracts him from a neder, so what is he looking for? He's looking for a Pesach. Unsuccessful in finding one, but he looks for a Pesach. So the Ran points out over here, I don't understand. Remember yesterday's daf? So we went over a number of Amoraim who said that you could use Charata. The Gemara's conclusion is that you can use Charata. And, the Ran also points out, of the Amoraim who said that you can use Charata, Rav Nachman happens to be one of those Amoraim. So why doesn't Rav Nachman just simply go to Rav Zchari and say, hey, I don't have to hear about the neder. What kind of mood were you in at the time when you made the neder? Were you in a? How come he doesn't use charata? Okay. So, So what the Ron suggests is that look, Rav Schar was touted as being an Adam Gadol, meaning he was a very special individual. As we already pointed out, you can use charata, but charata is second best. In other words, if we were to give medals to the different ways of extracting yourself from a neder, so Pesach is a gold medal, and charata is a silver medal. Okay, whatever. It's not the best analogy, but it's fine. In other words, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, yes, he could have used charata. But what he tried to do is he tried to use a better means of extraction, and that would be Pesach. And he assumed that Rav Schar wanted to be extracted not using charata, which is second best, but rather he wanted to be extracted with a Pesach.
So now, Pesach,
yeah, in other words, correct. In other words, there has to be that when you made this neder, this is what you thought of at the time. Right.
Yeah,
and
for the Pesach, I mean, after the...
Okay, so what Phil's pointing out. Okay, I'll outline Phil's point, and because it's going to come up again and again, meaning that his upsetting Rav Nachman occurs later, well after he made the neder, and a Pesach means that you had to have considered the following at the time, right? This is something that you should have anticipated at the time. So what we're going to try to argue, it's a hard argument, but we're going to try anyway. What we're going to argue is that if you realize at the time that this is the kind of thing that would upset others, meaning this is an argument you could have made at the time of the neder, that would also serve as the Pesach. Okay, it's hard. It's definitely hard. Okay, but that's clearly what the Gemara is thinking. Okay, we're going to continue. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Havalei Nitzel Lemishrei Asul Kamai Derabanan. Okay, next story, and these stories are going to be similar to one another. So Rabbi Shimon Rabbi made a neder, and Asul Kamai Derabanan. So and he goes to the Chachamim in order to try to extract himself from the neder. Amalei nedarta adayta dahachi amrein adayta dahachi in and kama zimnin. And again, same situation in which, well, let's try to use this strategy. Let's try to use that strategy. Again, operating with extraction using Pesach, and every time dead end. So vav mitzvah rabbanim mishim shalatula mitula shimsha. And so the Chachamim were so stressed out over the fact that they couldn't find a Pesach. They were going from sun to shade, back from shade to sun. It's an expression in the Gemara that basically they were agitated. They were super agitated. So we're going to skip the parentheses. Amalei, Binisbury, da Abishal, ben Bitnis, me, Nadarta, Adaita, Mitzara, Banami, Tula, Shimsha, Umishimsha, Latula, Amalei, lo, Visharyua. And again, the same conclusion, which is that if you would have known when you made the neder that you would have agitated the rabbi so much, would you have made the neder? He said, no, I wouldn't have made the neder if I knew that it was going to really bother the Chachamim so much. And so so we have now found a Pesach similar to the one that we mentioned before. And now here we go, third story in a row, with basically the same model lesson. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yosi hava lei nidra lemishrei. So Rabbi Shmuel had a neder that he wanted to be released from. And again, by the way, I know I already made this point today, but it's just a curiosity for me. Or in other words, people shouldn't be making nedarim, right? We had very strong words to describe somebody. I don't want to repeat it because we're talking now about these tanaim. But the Gemara had really strong words to describe somebody who makes nedarim. And now all these tanaim have nedarim and they need to be extracted from it. In other words, why did they make nedarim to begin with? Okay. I'm curious. I don't really have a good answer, but okay. This is the third story in a row. Anyway, Asala Kamei de Rabbanan, Amrlei, Nadarta Adaita Dahachi, Amrluin, Nadarta Adaita Dahachi, Amrluin, Kama Zimnin. And again, same setup, in which attempted extraction using a Pesach. How about this? How about this? And they went over it many times. And again, dead end every time. So Kem de Chazu Katsar de Mitzar Rabbanan. So Machiba Uchla de Katsar. So there happens to have been a casual observer who was watching all this. He was a launderer. Right, that launderer back in the time was called the Kitzara. Right, I love this. I always find this humorous. And that is, do you know why the launderer is called the Kitzara? Because the Kitzara literally means he shortens. He shortens your clothing. Go. You give your. I love it. So you give your clothing to a launderer to wash, and what happens is it comes back shorter. Okay, water shrinks it. Good. So they that's what they call the launderer, the katsara. Anyway, so he happens to have been a casual observer, and he's watching now that basically from his vantage point, Rabbi Shmuel is making the chachamim crazy, and it bothers him, right? That's what you're doing to your rebbeim. So what is now? Okay, so the fact that it bothers him, that's good. Meaning, right, to defend Talmid Chachamim, that's a good thing. On the other hand, his next move, however, is a little bit aggressive, and that is Machya Beuchla de Katzre. So he took his instrument, I don't know, he's got some sort of laundering instrument, whatever it is, it's a good instrument, it must have hurt. And what he did is he hit Rabbi Shmuel with his laundering instrument. Amar Daita de Machile Kitzar Lo Nidre. Vishari Lanafshe. And again, now what he recognized, it's the same point again, and that is that he clearly would not have made the neder had he known that it would have bothered the chacham so much, all the way to the point in which somebody hit him, and so that created now his Pesach. So Amalei Rav Acha Midiftel Ravina Hai Nolad Hu Delo Masik Adai De Demachle Kitzara and Tanina In Poskin Lo Benolad. And now Phil, the Gemara is going to go over the back and forth in terms of basically what you asked, and that is, this was not existent at the time that you made the neder. He was hit subsequently. And now his being hit subsequently, how can that be serving as a Pesach? The Pesach must be something that you could have anticipated at the time when you made the neder, and not on a future event. And that's not going to be serving as a Pesach. And why over here is it serving as a Pesach? So Amar Lei, hi, love Nolad Hu, Dishchichi Apikori Demetzari Rabbanon. So he says that's not Nolad. Meaning the idea that you have these, he's not describing himself as an apikoros, but in other words, but when somebody is showing a lack of disrespect to chachamim, it's gonna bother the chachamim when people are disrespectful to him. That's something, in other words, not the hitting, but the attitude and the amount of stress and aggravation it's gonna provide for other people. That's something that should have been considered at the time when you made the neder. And that's not a nola, that's something that existed. Okay. So basically, we dealt with now not one but three stories in a row in which the Pesach that was found was that if I known how much aggravation and grief I would have caused the Talmid Chachamim in making such a neder, I wouldn't have made such a neder, and that would be serving as a Pesach. Okay, and again, by the way, this is where, right, today's daf, by the way, it's in such an interesting daf, but it's hard, and this is now where My understanding of Pesach definitely needs to be better. In other words, it needs to be shaped better. Because over here, the Pesach is not on the actual neder itself. In fact, in all three stories, we don't even know what the neder is. Meaning, right, we just know that there was a neder. And the extraction now is based on how other people are reacting to him having made a neder. But in other words, but it's not the actual neder itself that's problematic. It's the reaction to the neder, which is now going to serve as a Pesach. Okay, it's not addressing the actual neder itself. Okay, but meanwhile, the Gemara calls it a Pesach. Good, so it's a Pesach. I thought Pesach had to do more with the ramifications of the actual neder itself. Okay. Good.
Yeah, I'm
going to
learn
Torah. Yeah, Divasau Dabai Havalehu Barta. Okay, one more story to finish up our first half of today's daf. So the wife of Abai had a daughter. In other words, Abai married a woman who was previously married. Okay, and Abai had multiple wives and married a number of times. Right, we just had that recently back in Ksuvos. Okay, anyway. So whatever. Okay. So he married a woman that was previously married, and so now this woman comes in with a daughter. Fine. And so to Abai, now it's a stepdaughter. And clearly in the context of the story, he liked her. In other words, he liked his stepdaughter. And how do I know that? You'll see. It's going to be obvious. So hu amar l'krivai, v'hi amar l'kriva. And so now it's time for shiduchim. And they're having an argument in terms of who the shidduch should be made between. Okay, back in the good old days, the parents decided who's going to be the candidate. And so good. So now he wanted his stepdaughter to marry into his family. Now, I know this is a little bit strange, by the way, because marrying a family member is what's called arayos. So we're not talking about immediate family members. That's all, that the Torah prohibits. And even if it's not so immediate, there's a group of relatives that are also prohibited via rabbinic law. That's shnios. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. Chav, chav, aleph. Anyway, so that's also no good. What we're describing over here is not so close relatives. A cousin. Okay. Right? So back in the day, marrying cousins was normal. Was absolutely. Right. It was normal for cousins to marry back in the day. Nowadays, not normal, but back in the day, it was normal. And not only normal, but in other words, but it was preferred, right? You don't have to go further than this week's parsha. Right. So in other words, so when it came time now for Avram to decide, right, who is my son going to marry? It was obvious. Family members. Who else is he going to marry? Okay, good. So Abaye said, okay, look, right, he says to his new wife, right, I like your daughter, I like my stepdaughter, she's going to marry into my family. And the wife says, okay, good, right, I like the fact that you like her, but here's where we're going to disagree. She's not marrying into your family, she's going to marry into my family. Okay, fine. So they're at odds right now in terms of where should we make the shidduch. So Amar la titzrei hanasi alechi avar tadaiti mensevei lelikrivech. And so good. So now Abai says to his wife, look, I'm standing firm on my position. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a neder. In other words, if you go against me, so then there's going to be Nisar Hana. Okay, good. And what do you think happens? Okay. Baruch Hashem. All right. We've all been around long enough to know what's going to happen. So it's okay. Good. So, so Azalva Avart Al Daite. The instant of a lakriva. So good. So now what she does is she takes her daughter and she marries her. She marries the daughter over to her family. Okay, good. So now, also lakamid de Rav Yosef. So now Abai goes over to Rav Yosef and says, look, I'm a little bit stuck right now. Meaning, okay, good. I lost the argument with my wife. Okay, that happens. That's not the problem. The problem is that I made a neder, right? I didn't want her to, I wanted the girl to marry into my family. And I told her that if she takes a girl and marries her family, that now she's going to be asked to me via neder. And now, obviously, I lost the argument and I want to be extracted from the neder. Okay. What do I do? Let me just finish the story and then we'll discuss. So Amar lei lo havei yadat da'avrat adai techum mitzvah la lekriva miyadarta. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, let me ask you a question. If you knew that your wife was stubborn, okay, if you knew that your wife was stubborn, and if you knew that she was going to marry the girl off to her family, in other words, despite the fact that you threatened her, if you knew that, would you have made a neder? So Abaye says, well, no, of course I wouldn't have made the neder. Meaning, in other words, if I would have known that this woman is headstrong and would have done what she wanted to do, I wouldn't have made the neder. Vishari Rav Yosef, and based on that argument, Rav Yosef says, I'm going to be matir from the neder. Now, to which the Gemara says, wait one second. Really? Really? That's a form of extraction? So, umishari ki agavna, the Gemara says, I can't believe it. I can't believe that that's a form of extraction. And the Gemara says, okay, don't get so excited. It's a form of extraction. It works. Vatanya, we have a brace. And a man did not want his wife doing aliyah l'regel. Okay, the story is historically interesting because as we'll see in just a moment, the story involves Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi lives after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so there's a lot of interesting history over here in terms of they're doing aliyah l'regel afterwards. But right now, I'm just going to be focusing on the point that we're making over here, which is the avar al daita v'alta l'rego. So anyway, and what happened was, is that he told his wife, listen, I don't want you doing aliyah l'rego. And his wife said, and he threatens her with a neder. And what does she do? So again, God bless her. She's headstrong. And she went and she did aliyah l'rego. So valifnei Rabbi Yossi. And they go to Rabbi Yossi, and Amar lo, and Rabbi Yossi says to him, Ilo Aisi Yodea Sheover Saldat Chava Ola Lerego Klumi Darta. And he says to her, look, in other words, if you would have been aware at the time when you made the neder that your wife is headstrong and she would have done it anyway, would you have made the neder? So Amar lo, and he says, no, I wouldn't have made the neder. Vihitu Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says, based on that, I'm going to be matir from the neder. So even though it sounds strange, it absolutely sounds strange, right? If you would have known that she would have violated your instructions, would you have made the neder? It sounds like that wouldn't have served as a Pesach. And meanwhile, what the Gemara now says, not once but twice, is it does serve as a Pesach. And that's what allowed Rav Yosef to be Matar Abaye. It's what allowed the Chachamim to be Matya Rabbi Yossi from the Neda that they made against their wife, because had they recognized and realized at the time that your wife would have violated your instructions anyway, would you have made the Neda? In both cases, they said no. Okay, that's going to be serving now as a Pesach.
Question. Why wouldn't Rabbi's Neda would be considered the Neda as Zeruzin?
Okay, so Ben asked a question. I kind of anticipated he was going to ask this question. So the Ron asks this question as well. Okay, so we go from Ron to the good doctor over here. Okay, good. So it's good. Baruch Hashem. You're mechaving. So the Ron asks the question. The Ron says, look, over here, what do we sound like? We sound like it's basically motivational, negotiational, nedarim, meaning nidre zeruzin. Now we get to go back to the beginning of the parak. I'm just introducing the Ron's question. Ben's question as well. In the beginning of the parak, what do we learn? If you and I are negotiating, and look, and right now I just want you to get you to move off your position. So in other words, you're saying four, I'm saying two, and we're going back and forth, and now you're gonna dig your heels a little bit into the dirt by making a neder. You know what? I'll do the same thing as well. So what do we learn in the beginning of our parak? This is what's called nidre zeruzin. What does it mean? It's hyperbole. You didn't mean the neder. I didn't mean the neder. We don't have to go to a chacham afterwards. Meaning we'll agree to three. We'll shake hands. We'll even hug. And good. And we can all go home now. Because it's understood contextually. That's what's called nidre zeruzin. And that doesn't need a chacham. So over here, the Ron's asking, Ben's asking. So over here, same thing. In other words, he's just trying to get his wife to move off of her position. Right? She's right now... Right, in Abaye's case, she's deciding who the shidduch is going to be. In Rav Yossi's case, she's deciding that she's going to make Aliyah L'Rego. And all he's trying to do is, can I get you to budge a little bit? And, okay. This should qualify as Nidre Zeruzin. So the Ron's answer to this question is, it's not the same. Why? Because in the case of negotiation, so when we're negotiating, so I know right then and there, I'm saying four, I don't mean four. In other words, it's a dance. Negotiation is just, all we're doing is dancing. Okay. Whatever. It's a dance. And I know already when I said four, it's just a starting point. I'm saying four right now to get you to move off of your position. And you're saying two to get me off of my position. So when we're making Nedarim, it's already at that point in time, it's a recognition that I'm not meaning what I'm saying right now. In other words, it's just hyperbole. However, over here, Abaye really didn't want his stepdaughter to marry into her family. Meaning he was intent on, I really don't want this to happen. So in other words, the Ron's language is piva libo shoven. He really meant what he said. It happens to have been that he wasn't ready to go that far if he would have known that his wife would have been headstrong, he wouldn't have made the neder. But upon articulation of the neder, he really meant it. So the Ron says that that's what he feels is the difference between our cases over here and the Mishnah of Nidre Zeruzin. Okay, good. Yeah, okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. Okay, good. I'll pause for a moment. We'll breathe for just a second. Let's begin. Okay, in the upcoming Mishnah, now we're going to read the Mishnah, obviously, and I'm going to translate the Mishnah, but at face value, the Mishnah is really made up of two parts to it. There really is not one ruling of the upcoming Mishnah. There really are two parts of the Mishnah. It's going to take us to go through the Gemara to unpackage, to decouple the two points of the Mishnah. But let's just read the Mishnah right now. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Afa Rotz El Adir Chaveru Sheyochel Etzlo So Yom Erlo Kol Neder Shani Asi Lidor Hu Batel Uvavad Sheyezacher B'Shas HaNeder. Okay, so let's say I want to invite my friend over so that he eat by me. But at the same time, and I'm going to make a neder, but I don't want the neder to really be chal. So what I'll do is I'll say in anticipation, you know what? I'm about to make a neder, but I'm not serious about my neder. In other words, basically, he throws in what's a good legal term? A disclaimer. He throws in a disclaimer at the front end, basically saying, I'm going to make a neder, but my neder is not serious. Okay, so, uvavashi ezach b'shasa neder. So good. So the disclaimer works. But of course, assuming at the time when he makes a neder, that he goes ahead and he remembers his disclaimer. Okay, v'kevim damer kol neder shani asli lidor ye batalo shama v'lo asa ba'adei. So the Gemara immediately looks at the Mishnah and says, wait 1 second. I'm so confused over here. It's like a comedy skit, the Mishnah. Meaning, what's happening, right? I'm trying to get this guy to come over to my house. Okay, so I make the following declaration. I'm going to try to encourage him by making a neder, but I don't mean the neder that I'm about to make. Okay, good. After having said that out loud, right, and presumably with an earshot of the person he's trying to encourage, he says, you know, I really want you to eat by me. I'm going to, if you don't eat by me, I'm making a neder and you're not going to get any hana from me and so forth and so on. And the guy's looking at him. He says, do you know, I was right here when you made the disclaimer. I know you're not serious about the neder. Like, what's happening over here? How in the world would any kind of neder, encouraging neder, help if you're making the disclaimer right there and the guy's hearing you make the disclaimer? Now, as Aaron points out, you could have easily just have said that maybe when he made the disclaimer, he did not do it within earshot of the person he's trying to come over. Okay, you could say that. But meanwhile, however, the Mishnah is strange. So the Gemara says, Chesur Mechzor of Ahaki Ketan. The Gemara says, you're right, as we now turn to the Amud Beis. And that is that we're missing some of the Mishnah and Ahaki Ketani. And this is really what the Mishnah meant. And that is, Arosa Sheyochel, Etzo Chaver, Mesarev Bo, Umadiro, Nidrei Zeruzenhin. Meaning, what's happening in the Mishnah, there really are two Piskas in the Mishnah, two Halachas in the Mishnah. Let's go over one by one. Number one in the Mishnah. Okay, so you're trying to get your friend to come over. Okay, and he's being stubborn and he's just being difficult. Okay, so now you make a neder to get him over. No disclaimer. In other words, nothing you said on the front end, right? Any neder I'm going to make is going to be batal. In other words, no. You're just trying to get him to come over. And he's being difficult and you make a neder. Okay, that's what's called motivational nedarim. Meaning, and it's good, by the way, and the Ron points this out. I'm just repeating what the Ron is telling us. And by the way, that's obviously now the extension from the first Mishnah in the Perek, meaning that our Perek is talking about various Nadarim that don't need Hataras Chachamim. And the first of the four categories are Nidrei Zeruzin. And what's our Mishnah doing right now? Just giving us another example of Nidrei Zeruzin. Meaning if we're negotiating and while we're negotiating, you and I make a neder, that's Nidrei Zeruzin. Okay, doesn't need a Chacham. You understand that it's a dance. Same thing over here. I'm trying to get you to eat by me and you're being difficult. I'm going to make a neder. Not because I really believe that I'm making a neder, but simply because I'm trying to move you off your position. Meaning it's a means of negotiation. Fine. So it falls under the category of Nidrei Zeruzin. Doesn't need a chacham. Good. Now that's part one of the Mishnah. And now we move on to part two of the Mishnah. And part two of the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah Kaimu Nidarav, Kol Hashanah, Yamud Rosh Hashanah, V'yamar Kol Neder, Shani Asi Lidor, Yei Bato Vavach, Yei Zachar B'Shas HaNeder. And now, let's say that you know yourself and you know you're the kind of the person that makes Nidarim over the course of the year. Okay. And so what you would like to do is that you would like to be bound by none of the Nidarim that you make. You're okay, you're a little bit emotional, you get a little bit reactional, and so you know you're that kind of person. So what you'll do at the beginning of the year, now I know the words in the Gemara is Rosh Hashanah, and it's exciting because it sounds like, oh, here's what we're going to do on Rosh Hashanah. In the context of the Gemara, all the Gemara just simply means is, just choose a starting point. Okay, right? Rosh Hashanah, meaning just simply the beginning of the year. Choose a starting point and say the following. Here's what I'm going to do for the upcoming year. And that is, I'll make a disclaimer. And in other words, any neder that I'm making this year, so it should be batal. In other words, I'm negating it right now.
Why does that mean for a year? Why not forever?
Okay, Ben's question, here the Ron doesn't say. But I was thinking about that as well. It happens to be that, generally speaking, we assume in halacha that memory goes for a year. Memory is good for a year, right? We find that by Avela said that it goes for a year. Okay, typically speaking, right, in other words, it's fair to suggest that you'll remember for 1 year. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just suggesting. But I certainly had the same question. So fine. So in other words, so now you're going to make a disclaimer and good. And I wrote to Shalei's coming in Darav, Kol Hashanah Yamud Rosh Hashanah V'yamud Kol Neder Shani Asi Lidor Yeibato Uvavashi Yezachar B'Shas HaNeder. And now it works, provided that you remembered, that you made a disclaimer. So the Gemara now asks the obvious question. So before we get to the next section of the Gemara, so what we've just done is that we've decoupled the Mishnah. The Mishnah now is not giving us one halacha, but rather two halachas. One is that another example of Nidrei Zeruzin. I want you to come over by me and eat by me. You're saying, no, I'm making a neder. Okay, I'm just leveraging. I'm just negotiating. Okay, and that's nidrei zeruzin. Good. That's number one. And the second point of the Mishnah now is that you know what you can do. So what you could do is you can make a disclaimer. And so that for all the nedarim that you make over the course of this year should become batel based on the fact that I'm making a disclaimer right now. A new halacha. And having nothing to do with nidrei zeruzin. Okay. So within that, now the Gemara wants to know izachor. So now in the second halacha, here's what we're saying. Your tonight works. Your disclaimer that you made at the beginning of the year works. But with the provision that at the time you make the neder, you remember that you made a disclaimer. And the Gemara says, I'm trying to understand that. That's really difficult to understand. Izachor. So akra letana v'kaim lenidre. Let's see if I get this straight. I made a disclaimer at the beginning of the year. I am now 6 months later. Right? And again, I got a little heated and I got a little bit reactionary. I'm making a neder. Oh, but don't worry though, because as I'm making the neder right now, I remembered 6 months ago that I made disclaimer. We're all good. The Gemara says, what do you mean we're all good? If you remembered your disclaimer and you're still making the neder, right? And let's even say that you articulated it, right? I'm saying right now, I know 6 months ago I made a disclaimer, but you know what? I don't care. I'm making a neder right now. So you know what you just did? What you just did is you negated your disclaimer. You're basically saying, I'm no longer protected. I'm not interested in being protected right now. Okay, good. So
don't you have lots of principle that you go with the person's latest declaration?
Okay, fine. So what we're trying to do is just, you're right. We're trying to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, provided you remembered your disclaimer. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you clearly remembered your disclaimer, that's you're being ma'akir. You're uprooting it. So the Gemara is now going to give two approaches. And the Ran is strongly of the position. These two approaches are not arguing with one another. They're just trying to provide different explanations of the Mishnah. Number one, Amar Abaye. So, Tani Uvava Shalo Yei Zachar B'Shasa Neder. Okay. So, Abaye's solution is, on one hand, it makes a lot of sense. On the other hand, it requires a lot of editing. In the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, provide that you remember, so Abaye says, okay, take out your pen and write the following in the Mishnah. Provided that you don't remember. Oh, okay, fine. In other words, your disclaimer, which is protecting you for the whole year, works. But of course, that is, of course, when you made the neder, you forgot that you made your disclaimer at the time when you made the neder. Now, right, a little bit later, when you remembered, oh yeah, I made a neder. Oh, that's right. But I had, then under those circumstances, now your disclaimer was in place. It provided protection. So we're only talking about a case that at the time when you made the neder, you didn't remember your disclaimer. That is Abaye's explanation. Rava Amar La'olam Kedami Namikara. Now, as Aran points out over here, Rava's not arguing with Abaye. He just simply does not want to edit the Mishnah the way Abaye did. Keep the Mishnah as it is. We're just going to have to give a somewhat fancy explanation in the Mishnah. And that is, Hacha B'mayiskinan, Kigon Shehisna B'Rosh Hashanah, V'lo Yada B'mayisna. Okay. What you did is the following, and that is that you made a disclaimer at the beginning of the year, but you know what you didn't remember? You didn't remember exactly what you were disclaiming. Meaning that at the beginning of the year, you say, any neder I make regarding X or regarding Y, so I am right now being mevatel that neder. So you made a disclaimer on nedarim, but you were specific about which nedarim you right now are going to be nullifying in advance. That's the case of the Mishnah. Now, Vahashika Nadar, and now, mid-year, you're making a neder, and Izach B'Shas HaNeder, V'Amar Aldas HaRishon Ani Anoder. Now, if you remember B'Shas HaNeder, and at the time when you made the neder, and you say, look, I know I made a disclaimer 6 months ago, and I'm doing so Aldas HaRishon Ani Anoder, and despite the fact that I made a disclaimer earlier, and right now, I don't remember what specifically I disclaimed, but I disclaimed something. So nidre leis be mashasha, mamasha. So at that point in time, you're basically saying, "Look, whatever my disclaimer was going on, I still want to utilize that protection." Good. So your neder now is going to be negated. However, lo amar al das rishon ani no der. So akre letana v'kaim lenidre. But if if you didn't say anything at the time when you made the neder, and so at that point in time you were ma'akir your tanai, and your neder is going to be mekayim. Okay, so in other words, Rava's explanation, a little bit fancier, a lot fancier really, and that is that you remembered your neder, but it was talking about a specific scenario in which I made a disclaimer at the beginning of the year. The disclaimer was a specific disclaimer against only a limited number of nedarim. And so now, as I'm making the neder, so if I remember the disclaimer, but I don't remember that which it was covering, and basically while I'm making the neder, I want to still be under the protection of the neder, of the disclaimer. So fine. So as long as you say it, fine. And if you don't say it, it's not going to protect you. Okay. That's Rava's understanding of the Mishnah. Okay. And Rav Huna Bar Chinna Sever LeMidrashei BePirka. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chinna said, good. So you know what we just learned together? That what you could do is you could protect yourself over the course of the year. Make a disclaimer at the beginning of the year and protect yourself over the course of the year. And that's great. And that'll work. And so Rav Huna says, good. So you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to institute it. I'd like people to know about it. And so that way, what you're going to now do is that you're going to end up nullifying your nedarim in advance. And wouldn't that be great? And then people wouldn't be in violation of the nedarim. So Amalei Rava Tanaka Mistayim Le Sisume Kedei Lo Yinagu Kalos Rosh Benedarim Ve'at Arshalei Bepirka. So Rava says to Rav Huna Bar Chinna, no, it's not good. It's not a good idea. Look. Do you know how we just learned this halacha together? It's by learning a Mishnah. Meaning it's a Mishnah tucked away over here in the third paragraph of Nedarim. I say tucked away. It's not tucked away. Meaning it's, you know, it's topical. But in other words, the Mishnah itself wasn't super clear. What do we have to do? We had to learn the Mishnah. We had to uncouple the Mishnah. We had to unpackage the Mishnah. And only then did we learn this point. In other words, you know what the Mishnah did? The Misadr HaMishnayas Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he wrote the halacha, but he wrote it cryptically. Do you know why he was so cryptic about this halacha? Because he didn't want this broadcasted to the world. How ironic, by the way, as I'm saying this, I'm recording it, I'm on Zoom, and now everyone gets to hear this. Okay, but in other words, but he didn't want it broadcast to the world. He wanted this halacha to be in some veiled Mishnah so that people don't use it. Because you know what's going to happen? You start disclaiming all your nedarim for the future year at that point in time. Right, counterproductive, right? Opposite effect. People are now going to be so casual about making the darn because you know what? I made my disclaimer at the beginning of the year. No, in other words, people, the Chachamim wanted people to be careful about what they said, and they wanted people not to make Nedarim. And this will have the opposite effect. And so what Rava says to Rav Huna is, I don't think it's a good idea. Don't broadcast this information to others. Okay. Good. So and Adkan and this is where we're gonna, this is where we're gonna stop. Okay, so I'll just mention over here so the two halachas that we learned in our Mishnah, one having to be an example of Nedarim Zeruzim, and number two is this idea that what you could do is that you can make a disclaimer at the beginning of the year that's going to cover all your Nedarim for the rest of the year. And again, the challenge is the end of the Braisa where it says as long as you remember your disclaimer, what in the world does that mean? Abaye says, we'll edit the statement, and Rava says, we don't have to edit it. We'll just give an ukimta. Okay, good. Fine. That's the end of the Gemara. Okay, where all this gets exciting, it does get a little bit complicated, but it gets exciting, is that we have a minhag Yisrael, we have an old ancient custom of the Jewish people, and that is that what we do is that we sit there at the beginning of the year, and we make a disclaimer for the rest of the year. We do so actually two times. We do so right around the Rosh Hashanah time, right? Happens to fit into our Gemara. The language of the Gemara is, say it on Rosh Hashanah. But again, in the context of the Gemara, it just simply meant some beginning point. But in other words, what we do is what we call Hataras Nedarim, where we're Matir our Neder. And then on top of that, we also make a disclaimer for all future Nedarim. And then, right, another Minhag Yisrael, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, in other words, it's an ancient minhag, and that is on Yom Kippur. We open up Yom Kippur by saying, Kol Nidre. And what we're doing now with Kol Nidre is, now this part gets exciting because it's not clear what we're doing with Kol Nidre. Are we trying to be Matir our Nedarim of the past? Alternatively, we're making a disclaimer for the upcoming year. Okay, and this is not a new discussion. This is a classic discussion amongst the Rishonim. The Rishonim already are deliberating, meaning Kol Nidre came into the Nusach before the Rishonim. When exactly? Your guess is better than mine. But it's a really old minug. Now, what is it looking to accomplish? The Rishonim debate whether it's for the past or whether it's for the upcoming year. So over here, or maybe both. So over here in our daf, and this is, I'm not going to go through it inside, but over here, take a look at the Ran. Over here, Ulinyan Halacha, where he goes over the minhag of Saint called Nidre, and he quotes the Shita Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was strongly of the position that Kol Nidre is for the upcoming year, not for the past. That's Rabbeinu Tam and what they had to do. In other words, they were literally arguing over what's the correct nusach of Kol Nidre, meaning how should we phrase it? How should we word it? Apparently, there was an established nusach of Kol Nidre, and Rabbeinu Tam was ready to take out his pen and say, okay, I'm here to edit. In other words, he took out the Sidurim, and he edited the Sidurim. And he thought that the Kol Nidre is for the upcoming year, meaning as per our Gemara. And the other Rishonim, so they asked question upon question on Rabbeinu Tam. One of the questions, which we can go over right now, is the Gemara that we just learned together. Meaning, how do we just end today's daf? So Rava says to Rav Huna, I don't think it's a good idea. Meaning, if you go ahead and broadcast this to the populace, you know what's going to happen? People are going to be lax by Nedarim. The Gemara just told us it's not a good idea. And now, right, according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's a universally accepted practice of saying Kol Nidre, and it's for the upcoming year, and the Gemara just told us, I don't think it's a good idea? Okay. That and other questions as well. Okay, anyway. Good. That's it. That obviously an exciting part of today's daf. All I did was just highlight it. See the Ron inside for a lengthier discussion.